Today is the 11th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we gather again. I guess at the end of our work week, approaching the weekend, approaching the end of another one of our weeks together. I'm grateful. Grateful for you. Grateful to be here with you. Grateful that we can spend some time together today. Moving forward another step on the journey that we are taking together through the scriptures. I hope you are doing well. It's nice and toasty here in the rolling hills of Tennessee. Hot summers. Yeah. But all is well. I'm grateful to be here with you today. So our next step forward leads us back into the book of First Chronicles. And we're kind of exiting all of these genealogies now. And I'm going to focus in on King David. When we get to the New Testament, we will be concluding the book of Acts today. And as that ends and we navigate forward, we'll be moving into completely different territory. And so let's appreciate the moment that we will be concluding the book of Acts. Let's jump in. First Chronicles chapter 11 verse 1 through 12 verse 18 today. All Israel came together to David at Hebron and said, "Here we are, your own flesh and blood. Even previously, when Saul was king, you were leading Israel out to battle and bringing us back. The Lord your God also said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be ruler over my people Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. David made a covenant with them at Hebron in the Lord's presence, and they anointed David king over Israel, in keeping with the Lord's word through Samuel. David and all Israel marched to Jerusalem, that is Jebus. The Jebusites who inhabited the land were there. The inhabitants of Jebus said to David, 'You will never get in here.' Yet David did capture the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. David said, 'Whoever is the first to kill a Jebusite will become chief commander.' Joab, son of Zeruiah, went up first, so he became the chief. Then David took up residence in the stronghold. Therefore, it was called the City of David. He built up the city all the way around, from the supporting terraces to the surrounding parts, and Joab restored the rest of the city. David steadily grew more powerful, and the Lord of armies was with him. The following were the chiefs of David's warriors, who, together with all Israel, strongly supported him in his reign to make him king according to the Lord's word about Israel. This is the list of David's warriors: Jashobeam, son of Hakmoni, was chief of the 30. He wielded his spear against 300 and killed them at one time. After him, Eleazar, son of Dodo the Aoite, was one of the 3 warriors. He was with David at Pathathaim when the Philistines had gathered there for battle. There was a portion of a field full of barley where the troops had fled from the Philistines, but Eleazar and David took their stand in the middle of the field and defended it. They killed the Philistines, and the Lord gave them a great victory. 3 of the 30 chief men went down to David, to the rock at the cave of Adullam, while the Philistine army was encamped in Rephaim Valley. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and a Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David was extremely thirsty and said, "If only someone would bring me water to drink from the well at the city gate of Bethlehem." So the three broke through the Philistine camp and drew water from the well at the gate of Bethlehem. They brought it back to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out to the Lord. David said, "I would never do such a thing in the presence of my God. How can I drink the blood of these men who risked their lives?" For they brought it at the risk of their lives, so he would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the three warriors. Abishai, Joab's brother, was the leader of the three. He raised his spear against 300 men and killed them, gaining a reputation among the three. He was more honored than the three and became their commander, even though he did not become one of the three. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was the son of a brave man from Kabzeel, a man of many exploits. Benaiah killed two sons of Ariel of Moab, and he went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. He also killed an Egyptian who was 7.5 feet tall. Even though the Egyptian had a spear in his hand like a weaver's beam, Benaiah went down to him with a staff, snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and then killed him with his own spear. These were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, who had a reputation among the three warriors. He was the most honored of the 30, but he did not become one of the three. David put him in charge of his bodyguard. The best soldiers were Joab's brother Asael, Elanon, son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shemot the Harorite, Elez the Pelonite, Ira, son of Ikesh the Tekoite, Abiezer the Anathotite, Sibekai the Hushatite, Eli the Aoite, Maharai the Netophatite, Eled, son of Beana the Netophatite, Ittai, son of Ribai, from Gibeah of the Benjaminites, Benaiah the Piriathonite, Hurai from the Wadis of Gaash, Abiel the Arbatite, Asmaveth the Bahuramite, Eliabah the Shealbanite, the sons of Hashim, the Gizanite, Jonathan son of Shagi, the Harorite, Ahiam son of Sakar, the Harorite, Eliphal son of Ur, Hafer the Makaratite, Ahijah the Pelonite, Hethro the Carmelite, Nahari son of Ezbai, Joel the brother of Nathan, Mibhar son of Hagri, Zelek the Ammonite, Naharai the Beerotite, the armor bearer for Joab son of Zeruiah, Ira the Itharite, Gareb the Itharite, Uriah the Hittite, Zabad son of Ali, Adina son of Shiza the Reubenite, chief of the Reubenites, and 30 with him, Hanan son of Maacah, Joshaphat the Mithnite, Uzziah the Ashteratite, Shammah and Jael the sons of Hotam the Ararite, Jediel son of Shimri and his brother Joah the Tizzite, Eliel the Maavite, Jerubai and Joshaviah the sons of Elnaam, Ithma the Moabite, Eliel, Obed, and Jaaziel, the Metzobite. The following were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still banned from the presence of Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who helped him in battle. They were archers who could use either the right or left hand, both to sling stones and shoot arrows from a bow. They were Saul's relatives from Benjamin. Their chief was Ahiezer, son of Shemaiah, the Gibeathite. Then there was his brother Joash, Jeziel and Pelet, son of Azmaveth, Barakah, Jehu, the Anathathite, Ishmaiah, the Gibeonite, a warrior among the 30 and a leader over the 30, Jeremiah, Jahaziel, Yohanan, Jozabad, the Gederathite, Eluzai, Jeremoth, Bealiah, Shemariah, Shephatiah, the Harufite, Elkanah, Ishiah, Azarel, Joazer, and Jashubim, the Korahites, and Joelah and Zebediah, the sons of Jeroham from Gedor. Some Gadites defected to David at his stronghold in the desert. They were valiant warriors trained for battle, expert with shield and spear. Their faces were like the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Azer was the chief, Obadiah second, Eliab third, Mishmana fourth, Jeremiah fifth, Attai sixth, Eliel seventh, Yohanan eighth, Elzabad ninth, Jeremiah tenth, and Machbenai 11th. These Gadites were army commanders. The least of them was a match for 100, and the greatest of them for 1,000. These are the men who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it was overflowing all its banks and put to flight all those in the valleys to the east and to the west. Other Benjaminites and men from Judah also went to David at the stronghold. David went out to meet them and said to them, "If you have come in peace to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies, even though my hands have done no wrong, may the God of our ancestors look on it and judge." Then the spirit enveloped Amasai, chief of the 30, and he said, "We are yours, David. We are with you, son of Jesse. Peace. Peace to you, and peace to him who helps you, for your God helps you." So David received them and made them leaders of his troops. Acts 28. Once safely ashore, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The local people showed us extraordinary kindness. They lit a fire and took us all in, since it was raining and cold. As Paul gathered a bundle of brushwood and put it on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the local people saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man, no doubt, is a murderer. Even though he has escaped the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But he shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no harm. They expected that he would begin to swell up or suddenly drop dead. After they waited a long time and saw nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Now, in the area around that place was an estate belonging to the leading man of the island, named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. Publius's father was in bed suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to him, and praying and laying his hands on him, he healed him. After this, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So they heaped many honors on us, and when we sailed, they gave us what we needed. After 3 months, we set sail in an Alexandrian ship that had wintered at the island, with the twin gods as its figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, after making a circuit along the coast, we reached Rhegium. After 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and sisters and were invited to stay a week with them. And so we came to Rome. Now, the brothers and sisters from there had heard the news about us and had come to meet us as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. When we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors, I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. After they examined me, they wanted to release me, since there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. Because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, even though I had no charge to bring against my people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and speak to you. In fact, it is for the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We haven't received any letters about you from Judea. None of the brothers has come and reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we want to hear what your views are, since we know that people everywhere are speaking against this sect." After arranging a day with them, many came to him at his lodging. From dawn to dusk, he expounded and testified about the kingdom of God. He tried to persuade them about Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. Some were persuaded by what he said, but others did not believe. Disagreeing among themselves, they began to leave after Paul made one statement. "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'Go to these people and say, you will always be listening, but never understanding. And you will always be looking, but never perceiving. For the hearts of these people have grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.'" Paul stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Psalm 9, 1 through 12. Celebration of God's justice. For the choir director, according to Mut Leben, a psalm of David. I will thank the Lord with all my heart. I will declare all your wondrous works. I will rejoice and boast about you. I will sing about your name, Most High. When my enemies retreat, they stumble and perish before you, for you have upheld my just cause. You are seated on your throne as a righteous judge. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have erased their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to eternal ruin. You have uprooted the cities, and the very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he judges the world with righteousness. He executes judgment on the nations with fairness. The Lord is a refuge for the persecuted, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, because you have not abandoned those who seek you, Lord. Sing to the Lord, who dwells in Zion. Proclaim his deeds among the nations. For the one who seeks an accounting for bloodshed remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the oppressed. Proverbs 19, 1 through 3. Better a poor person who lives with integrity than someone who has deceitful lips and is a fool. Even zeal is not good without knowledge, and the one who acts hastily sins. A person's own foolishness leads him astray, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Okay, so that concludes, at least in the New Testament, the book of Acts. And Paul does eventually arrive in Rome. And so as it turns out, in this terrible storm and this shipwreck, they had landed on the island of Malta, which still exists. And if you look at it and see where they were going and where they ended up, you can see that they... Man, had they not hit that island, they were in the middle of nowhere, and they would have perished. They would have been in a wide open sea and would have likely had a water grave. So the Maltese people were friendly. They built a bonfire on the beach. Everybody's getting warm. Paul threw some brushwood on a fire. A poisonous snake bit him and latched onto him, dangling from his hand. And everybody with their superstition thought, okay, this is a murderer. He escaped the sea, but he will not escape justice. Paul throws the snake into the fire and just goes about his business. And the natives, the Maltese people, are waiting for him to fall over dead, but he didn't. And when they just kept watching, knowing like the venom from the snake bite should have affected Paul by now, and it didn't, and they changed their minds that he was, this has happened several times with Paul. So he wasn't a murderer, instead he was a god. And so that just simply opened the doorway for Paul to do some ministry, and he walked into it. And so they were there for 3 months. Many people were healed. Many people were ministered to. And when they did sail away, it was with great honor. And Malta became one of the first Roman colonies to convert to Christianity. And the Maltese people still honor Paul's visit to this day. And we also got to talk about Proverbs, because, man, Proverbs can do this. In one sentence, it can say volumes. And today it says volumes in one sentence about the big ticket misunderstandings in our human experience. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness. And then they're angry at the Lord. And that is a fact. We so often can find ourselves blaming God for the things that happen to us, or be confused about his involvement at all when things happen to us. And I am for sure guilty of that. I believe that we all are. And God just becomes kind of the trash heap for us to heap our suffering and blame. And that allows us to create distance from our own involvement right? If God is sovereign, if he knows everything, if he's all powerful, then how in the world could he let this happen to me? Man, it's sobering, because the pain is real and the confusion is real. But we may be taking it to the wrong place. Like, when did we become powerful enough to assume or comment or judge what God will and will not do? Blaming someone else, like deflecting and projecting our own issues or our own missteps, or even what really has wounded us and broken us completely, and blaming God for it, that's a rough, horrible thing to do. It's a devastating thing to do to any relationship. And so God is just the easy target when he is the only one that's willing to stand with us in it, as everything is falling apart, no matter what comes. So, stopping this, as hard as it is, not blaming God for things he didn't do, is the first move, because deep, abiding, loving relationships happen when there's mutual respect and trust and loyalty. And that requires both people in a relationship to uphold the terms of the relationship or covenants. God is holding up his end of the bargain. It's time that we own our part. According to the scriptures, there's nothing he won't walk with us through or guide us through. There is a narrow path and we can walk it. There is a spirit of truth that we can listen to, if we will. But it's a relationship. It's not a bondage. And so if we want to walk away from it, if we want to cheat on it, if we want to betray it, if we want to be disloyal to it, if we want to blame shift or project, we have been given that kind of power. But we do not have to walk away. We do not have to betray. That's a choice. So maybe, as the proverb tells us, maybe we stop ruining our lives by our own foolishness. So Father, we invite you into that. We're guilty. We're guilty. It's easy to make you a target because you're the all-powerful one, and we get it in our minds that you don't feel anything, you don't have any hurt towards us. There's nothing that we can do that can bother you. And yeah, that is not the truth of the scriptures that we are reading. If you love us the way that we are told, then that creates a mutual vulnerability in the relationship that also creates the opportunity for beautiful faithfulness and loyalty and fidelity. It's never been you that's stepped out on us. It's been the other way around. And then somehow we can say it's your fault for what we did or what's happening to us. Forgive us. Holy Spirit, come, forgive us. Lead us into all truth. Lead us away from these kind of mentalities that only destroy relationship with you or with anybody else. Lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. Obviously, one's in the App Store and one is on the web. And these are primary ways to get connected, stay connected, and keep track of the journey that we are on as we take it, as we journey through a year together. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are resources there for the journey that we are on. And it's no secret at this point, this is our 20th year. 20th year. 7 days a week. Never missing a day. This is the 20th time we've reached this point in the Bible, in this particular day of the year. And so we're doing different things to celebrate, and we'll continue to do different things to kind of commemorate. It's one of the things that are in the Bible, remembering, like writing things down, piling up rocks, never forgetting, remembering what happened, and remembering God's faithfulness in it all. So we have gone back, Jill and I have gone back to our roots. We've just been doing a lot of emotional and like mental health work over the last couple of years. Because Daily Audio Bible came along and it was like a tsunami in our lives. Clearly, something that God was leading. Clearly, something that God was doing. But also clearly nothing that we had planned for, anticipated, or even knew could be even a remote possibility. It just wasn't where we were. For me, I grew up in a pastor's home, so I grew up behind the curtain of ministry. It's something that I know really, really well, but it's also something that I had determined I cannot, which is not for me, nothing I'd ever be involved in. And Jill and I both were drawn together and became a couple centered around the fact that we are both artists and we were both pursuing careers in the music industry, and we both had full-time careers in the music industry. The Daily Audio Bible came to be. And so it kind of transitioned and transformed everything. And we just never had time to catch our breath or even to really understand that we should. Because when you're doing something good and it's fruitful and it seems like God's blessing it and it's like just running, it's moving so fast, like a fast train, you don't necessarily think, hey, hang on, I need to reflect on what's going on here and the changes that are subtly happening under the surface and the shifts in roles and expectations that are happening. Because on the one hand, you feel selfish and about those things because clearly just trying to obey the will of the Lord, and all kinds of things can, resentments and things can build. So we just, you know, began to unpack all of the things that we had been avoiding for whatever reason, not even on purpose, just things that we never took the time to deal with. And that took us back to our roots. And we've shared some of that journey. We'll continue to share that journey, but we've, you know, kind of re-examined our own origin story, how we fell in love, why we were suited to spend our lives together. And so much of that identity was centered in music. And so we have released some new music this year. That is kind of a look back at places that we've been, songs that we wrote at the beginning of our relationship that we just started over and redid from the ground up. So the first one that we did was I Found Grace. And Jill sang that beautifully because that's what Jill is, a beautiful singer, a professional, full-time singer. Before all of this. And so we released I Found Grace and the video to I Found Grace. And you can listen to that. Put it on your playlist. Find it anywhere. Anywhere that you listen to music. Anywhere that you watch videos. Just look for Jill Hardin. I Found Grace. Then we released When the Bow Breaks as part of our 20-year commemoration. And that is an early song from Jill's first record, the year we got married. And it's kind of a lullaby, and Ezekiel, our son, sang that song. He wasn't even born. He wasn't even imagined when that song was written. And Ezekiel is the Daily Audio baby. He was born into this ministry life that we lead now. He doesn't know any different. Like, he's hearing the stories, but he has no reference point to his parents having any other kind of life previous to the one that he knows. And so he sang his first song, and Ezekiel is, you know, Daily Audio Bible Kids, the voice of Daily Audio Bible Kids going through the New Testament every day. So he sang When the Bow Breaks, and it's beautiful, and there's a video for that as well. And you can listen to When the Bow Breaks looking for Ezekiel Hardin anywhere there is music. Put that on your playlist. Share that with your friends. Watch the video. Enjoy that. And then most recently, Jill and I sat down and talked about a song that goes back to before we were married, when we almost didn't. Like, when we thought it was over. Before it ever began, like before we got married and had been in a relationship, and just the challenges of it all. We thought we weren't gonna make it. Actually, we didn't. Like, we went kind of our separate ways without really severing the ties, only to find out we're meant to be. We're meant to be, no matter where we search, no matter where we go, no matter what we try, we're meant to be. And I had written a song back then called Love Will Not Care. And it's been a long time. I mean, Jill is the singer. I'm not the singer, but I sang the song Love Will Not Care. And that is available. And that's like a first time for sure. Since the Daily Audio Bible started, that have ever said I can carry any kind of tune, because I really can't compare to Joe. But I am what I am, and I sang that song, and I sang it from the depths of my heart from that time all the way to this time. And it is a song about unconditional love. It is a song to share with the ones that are primary connections and attachments in your life. It is a song to share with those who are trying to hold on to that story, that kind of love, hold on. And despite the way things look and the way that the relationship is going. So Love Will Not Care. If you look for my name, Brian Hardin, anywhere you listen to music, you can find Love Will Not Care and the music video for that. So those are songs that we've released. We have more that will be coming soon as we do this all year long. And thank you for listening. Thank you for letting us share our lives in this 20th year about how we got here. Because it didn't just happen in a vacuum. I mean, 20 years every single day of doing something is remarkable. But we were alive and doing things that we dreamed of before we gave everything up to do what we do every single day now. And so thank you for letting us share our story, and the feedback that we've been given has been so deeply, emotionally helpful and humbling to us that we can share and find that you feel the same, that you have your own stories, that you identify with the things that we're saying and can relate to the things that we're saying, can relate to the music that we're releasing. And so check it out. Thank you. And let us know when you do. Appreciate that very much. It encourages us beyond words. So check out the music. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Humbly, profoundly, deeply, we're a community. We're here because we're in this together around the global campfire. Thank you for your partnership as we move through these hot summer months. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, we're a community. You can hit the hotline button in the app, no matter where you may be on this planet, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, my beautiful Dab fam. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels on July 7th, our long walk day. Well, I'm calling in for our sister Pam, who called in today. First time caller, been listening around 4 or 5 years, I believe from Texas, and just calling. You could just hear her, she sounded so tired in her voice, and due to her job, not even due to the major heart surgery she's had that have actually gone very well, but her job that is hard, that is challenging, that is giving her difficulties in her confidence, in her abilities, and questioning her abilities, and having a hard time understanding the work and what have you, and the procedures and the new processes that are required. So let's lift her up to the Father. Heavenly Father, our beautiful, beautiful, magnanimously gracious Abba, Lord, you created us in your image to worship you, to praise you, and to give you glory through the work we can do through our hands. Lord God, you've saved us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and it is no longer us that live, but he that lives in us. We lift our sister up, asking, Lord God, that you would hear her pleas, her cries, and her petitions, Lord, to help her in this career, in this vocation, in this workplace, at this role that she has. Anoint her mind with a beautiful, beautiful oil of understanding of this job and its requirements. Allow her to be more relaxed, knowing the processes and the procedures, and being able to ask and have good management and good teachers there to help her learn what she doesn't know, so that she can be an asset to this company and be productive, which she desires to be, Lord. We ask and pray this in the blessed name, that you would remove this stress from her as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Dab family. This is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me. I wanted to lift up my friend Diana, her daughter, Courtney. I've called in about her before. She previously attempted to take her own life. Well, she attempted to take her own life again by jumping in front of a truck. She has several broken bones. I don't really know a whole lot about what's going on, but she's in the hospital, obviously. Lord, we just lift up Courtney to your throne room of grace. We just pray that you would heal her mind and her heart and her body, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, we just pray that you would give her peace and comfort. We pray that you would deliver her from that spirit of suicide that is running after her. We just pray that she would draw upon you, Lord God, that she would meet you in a mighty way and know you in a mighty way. We pray for this family. We pray for the truck driver. We pray for all those involved. We just pray for comfort and peace in this situation. We thank you that Courtney's life was spared. And we just thank you for the work that you're doing in Courtney's life and this family's life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Shantae calling from Port St. Lucie, Florida. I wanted to call in and give you all an update and praise report on my mother-in-law. She is doing so much better. She looks so much better. She's talking. She's in her right mind. Praise God. So yes, she did have sepsis. They were able to get it all out. They had to rebuild her stomach. She had multiple surgeries, but praise God, she's recovering. And now she's in like a, kind of like a rehab place, and she, needs to regain her strength so that she can walk, on her own. And, so please pray for that, that the rehab starts today, with physical therapy and whatnot. So, also, please give, please keep my husband lifted up in prayer. There's been some hiccups with him starting, this new job, some steps that have to be completed, and I'll spare you all the details, but, it's delayed him being able to start, and it's kind of stressful, because we just need, for this to work out, for these hiccups to be smoothed out, and for him to be able to start this week ASAP. And so, just praying for, you know, basically for everything to work out in Jesus' name. And I had an amazing time doing the long walk yesterday, and I am just so grateful, to have experienced that, these past few years. And thank you, Brian, for inviting us into that experience.
Hey, DAV family, this is 002, God's Nobody. Wanted to come with a praise report and a couple prayer requests. First, the praise report, I just appreciate everybody praying for my bride and I. I was fasting from January until now, specifically that we would hear a heartbeat by July 1st, and by some ridiculous turns of events, we heard a heartbeat for our child on July 1st exactly. So that's a huge praise. We really appreciate everybody's prayers. We're not out of the woods yet because of our history with past miscarriages. There's still, we still got some follow-ups to do. So if you guys could keep that in prayer, the more heartbeat that we hear, the harder it is, even imagine things not, ending with a healthy birth and, a healthy delivery, etc. So please continue to keep, our baby, keep my bride in prayer as we continue to navigate by faith, week by week, just praying that we hear a heartbeat again the next time. And a big prayer request, some family friends quite close to us, the mother, so this would be a grandmother in this case, she tragically ran over one of her grandchildren, four-year-old, backing out of the driveway. She didn't see them playing behind the car. So the whole family is devastated. If you could just keep them in prayer, pray for her that she's able to make peace, receive the Lord's forgiveness, pray for her daughter who lost her child. Just keep that family in prayer. Thank you guys very much. God bless you.